You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. To the journey.
Hello, folks, and welcome to this week's episode of To the Journey.
To the journey!
I am your host, Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as always, is...
Lori Sears.
And Tristan Riddell.
All right, so this week we have an amazing idea that was submitted by a reader named Nicole, and we are going to take Voyager from the small screen to the big screen and discuss our ideas for a Voyager movie, because we just didn't get one. Which is very sad.
Yeah, I feel like I would have loved it if every series got a movie, at least one movie.
Yeah.
I would have loved a Deep Space Nine movie, a Voyager movie, an Enterprise movie. I absolutely would have loved it.
Yeah,
they deserved
it. I really
it.
Think, yeah, they did. They did. And we just didn't get it. We got several original series. We got Next Generation. That doesn't cut it in my book.
Nope.
I feel like everybody should have gotten a little fair shake, even if there was some crossover action going on. You know what I mean? Like, you could have had a TNG movie, but you could have had some Deep Space Nine in there, too, somehow.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, the only bridge that we got was Worf and the Defiant in First Contact, but that's really
right.
It. And, like I think you heard the words Deep Space Nine and Insurrection.
Yeah.
Or was it Nemesis? I think one of the two.
Yeah, Worf was basically the only crossover we got, and somehow they managed to find a way to include him in all of the TNG movies.
I love that they didn't even try an Insurrection. They're like Worf,
right.
What are you doing here? And he's like, well, actually, I was on my way to the, like, hold on a second, and then they go on to the storyline.
Yeah, he might have just well have shrugged and said, I don't know.
Yeah, I love that moment.
I just beamed here. Yeah, so no Deep Space Nine, really. No Voyager, no Enterprise. And since we love Voyager so much, we've got to talk about, if we would have had the chance, what would we have liked to have seen on the big screen? I had this massive exploration over the weekend as I was trying to figure this out of what I wanted to see on the screen. And actually, I started with somebody else's idea. I don't know if you guys know what Garrett Wong's idea was for a Voyager movie. Do you know anything about this?
No,
I haven't heard anything about that.
Mm-mm. Okay, he did an interview with StarTrek.com, I think 10 years after Voyager's end, so a couple years ago. And he said he would have done pretty much everything in Endgame up until the point of getting home, but then saying, to be continued
in the
big screen. At a theater near you or something like that.
That's cool.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He wouldn't have actually gotten Voyager home. He would have left it for the movie. And I thought that was a really fascinating idea because that would have maybe helped a little bit with the pacing of Endgame, because he mentions how rushed it is in the second half. And I agree.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah. However, I have more than just that issue with Endgame in and of itself.
I wonder,
what
could it be?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with Chakotay and Seven.
Nuh-uh. No way.
I know, this is shocking, but this is the truth. What I really have issue with is the fact that Janeway breaks the temporal prime directive to get her crew home. After so many years of trying to play it straight and do things right, she ends up going for this. And I thought, what?
Does she really play it straight? Does she really play it straight?
Really?
She bends it a little more with each season as we go along. And this ties into my idea, so hear me out, okay?
Okay, all right.
All right. So instead of Admiral Janeway coming back, and of course, you know, we'd get a lot less Mulgrew action this way, but I would prefer a different dilemma. Maybe Janeway breaks the prime directive or, you know, bends it to a point where she gets the ship home. Maybe she does something where, like, she destroys some kind of non-enemy property and there's severe consequences, or she rips someone off in a technology exchange. I'm not really sure. I didn't come up with details, just concepts.
Is this Admiral Janeway or Catherine Janeway?
I'm sorry. This is Captain Janeway in our timeline, Season 7, the very end. I'm basically rewriting Endgame right now.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So here we're doing this. She bends the Prime Directive a little too much for Starfleet's liking. Gets Voyager home, but she's in hot water at this point. And so, you know, you start the episode off, oh, we're home. And then, oh, shoot, I'm going to be in a courtroom for a little while. Because Admiral Paris is not happy with her, and he tells her it's not going to be pretty. So they grill her, and they talk, you know, they kind of just dress her down. They tear her down with things like holodeck technology to the Hirogen and what happened with the Equinox and other questionable things she's done. Maybe even just going right to the start of destroying the array and Caretaker. And they tear her down so much that she loses all confidence in herself. Because, of course, she starts off feeling very sure of herself that she made the right decision that she could at that time. But no, she loses her confidence. And I think toward the end here, what I really want this story to be is at Janeway's weakest point in this trial, her crew comes in and offers testimony to basically not punish her for all their sins, because you know what? I was on that, you know, it's kind of one of those things where if you're going to punish her, punish us too. That sort of thing. I know it sounds kind of corny, but you could write this to where it doesn't suck. And it brings it full circle, though, that the crew is a family. I mean, that is the big message of the show, and I kind of wanted to just bring it all first full circle with that theme. So in that sense, Janeway maybe has lesser of a punishment. And somewhere in this, I want the Maquis dealt with, too. And then once everything is a little bit better, they show Voyager sailing off somehow at some point. We don't even know. Then you go to continued on the big screen. And what happens in the big screen are little tidbits of what has happened in the novels. Where they're fighting. I think it's much bigger issues than just fighting off the Hirogen or the Jem'Hadar or the Changelings. It's about big problems that span the galaxy. That's what I love about the novels now, the Voyager novels. And so then you put that on the big screen. So that's kind of roughly my idea. It probably sounds horrible.
No, it does not sound horrible. It doesn't sound horrible
I think
at all.
It does now that I've said it aloud.
It doesn't sound horrible. I would
I
go
think
see
it
that.
It's like an 80s sitcom.
An 80s sitcom?
Yeah, as I was going through the narrative of them, of the crew backing up Janeway, I'm thinking, God, this is corny. But it is.
Well, portions of the story felt a little bit more like a David E. Kelly show than like what we're used to on the big screen. Like, well, I mean, I guess you said like you're rewriting Endgame. It's not for the big screen. So basically, your movie idea, you focused more on the lead up to the movie idea instead of the movie itself.
Yeah, I guess because what happened in Endgame disappointed me so much that in order to lead up to a proper Voyager movie, you've got to rewrite that two-parter, in my opinion.
For the people at home who haven't read Homecoming, even though they should, but we should give a few of the concepts so people at home know what you're talking about, because what happens in Homecoming is they make it home, obviously. I mean, we see that at the end of Endgame. Janeway becomes an admiral, as we see a nemesis. People get promoted here and there. And we see Seven try to make it on her own. She breaks up with Chakotay. She tries to make it on her own with her
Thank
aunt.
Thank God.
Yeah, that was total fan service right there.
Smart
and
move.
And then there's a Borg threat. Seven keeps preaching to the to Starfleet HQ, like, no, we did not deal that big of a blow to the Borg. They're gonna come back, and they end up coming back in a weird form,
like a virus or something.
Yeah, they kind of came up with a backstory of why the Queen always survives. They find out that the Queen is a program, like you can back her up like a hard drive. And some person at Starfleet became obsessed with the Borg and was able to transform their body and download the Queen program into themselves and kind of create their own hive on Earth. And it just started going crazy and taking stuff over. And who could help but the Voyager crew?
Of course.
So.
Yeah, right. Plus, that makes the Borg a threat again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think the Enterprise came in, too. I think Jean-Luc helped out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Data.
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
And Data, yeah. Of course, it's Jean-Luc and Data.
Of course.
Well, yeah, right? Because this is a movie we're talking about.
Yeah, it's a movie, so of course Jean-Luc and Data are the only ones
That's
available.
Right. No one else is
in the
involved.
TNG universe. Yeah.
Well, it's at this point anyway that Riker's finally on the Titan with Deanna. Is that
That's
not? Right. Is that not right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's off doing his own thing.
No, this is Wait. I think when they get home, it's before he goes to the Titan. But I think some time passes. And then it might go. I haven't read
You're
it for
right,
so long.
You're right, because it's in those Time 2 books. That's right, because, yeah, it's further into those books where he finally goes. So he's, that's
okay.
right.
Okay. Okay, it's been so long since I've read that book. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't remember if we pass some time and he's on the Titan or he's on. I don't remember seeing him in the.
But anyway, he's about to go do his thing if he's not there already.
Mm-hmm. So you rewrote Endgame and then said, okay, let's just do Homecoming for the big screen.
Kind of. But you know what I was actually thinking more as far as the movie itself is more stuff that we saw kind of in Eternal Tide. I don't know if I would have killed Janeway off or not, as they did in the novels. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I was going to say, I never read Eternal Tide, so...
Oh, well, now you know, but she's back.
Of course she's back, yeah.
Yeah, but as far as the other bigger issues going on, where Voyager is back in the Delta Quadrant, and there's all sorts of crazy things going on in subspace, a lot of big questions involved. Maybe you do have to kill Janeway to explore those things, I'm not sure, but the concept is big enough for the big screen, I think.
I never read the books, and there might be some of our listeners out there who've never read them either, so I have no idea what you're talking about. So are we doing Homecoming, or are you doing... Pick which concepts you want from Homecoming or
title. No, I
want to
do little bits of them all.
You want to take all the parts you like from the books and turn them into
cherry
a movie.
Pick.
Yeah.
Give us a few cliff notes. Give us a brief outline of those things you liked.
I want to see Captain Chakotay. In Voyager,
awesome.
And I want Fleet Admiral Janeway commanding the fleet in the Delta Quadrant. I want them working together.
How'd they get to the Delta Quadrant?
It's Slipstream. Basically, the Federation, they figure it out.
Okay.
And although it's very volatile and they could lose it at any moment, they do have the capability of traveling back and forth to the Delta Quadrant now. And let's see. I want a cameo by Neelix.
Nice.
Yes. And there are some Q involved. You could have Q in there. You could have Mrs. Q, Q Jr. And then not in a bad way, guys. If you hate Q Jr., don't worry. He's much better in the books. and a lot of this has to do with Janeway being dead and coming back to life and all of this. I'll put it this way. It's very kind of Harry Potter-esque. And leave that to your imagination if you have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm totally losing you, aren't I? I'm sorry.
I'm gonna have to read all these books and then re-listen to this podcast because I have no idea what's going on.
I just don't want to give too much away. I think I just need to leave it here. If you understand, no explanation is necessary. If you don't, I don't think anything I'm going to give you will.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So... All right, so Lori.
I'm shutting up.
All right, I thought I liked your idea. I think it's good. I thought about that too. I really thought about the novels and thinking which one would really make a good movie. So I'm with you. I'm on board with that.
Okay.
I think I would like a web cartoon, if anything.
At the very least,
you know.
Oh, that would be cute.
Kind of like, you know, Clone Wars style. Not the CGI Clone Wars story, but the original Clone Wars with the animation... From Samurai Jack. Did you guys ever watch that at all?
Now
you've
lost me.
Yeah, I was
going
to say,
like,
now I don't know what you're talking
when
about.
People at home will understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
sorry.
Well. Yeah, sorry. I just don't dig the Star Wars.
That's
let's
cool.
get back to let's get back to Lori on this one.
Yeah, Lori, why don't you take over, man? I'm done.
All right. Well, I don't have near the ideas. What I thought I would do is just say what I really liked, say an episode that I really liked, and I thought we would talk about it because this was really hard. Because I thought at first, I just want everybody to get home and see what happened to them and blah, blah. But then I thought, that's what everybody says. That's just kind of
Right.
No.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I just started looking back and thinking, what episode did I really like that I would like to see expanded? And I don't know if this is big enough for a movie, but I liked it. There was not enough Mirror Universe stuff in Voyager to me. Stuff like that is awesome. I love Deep Space Nine, Mirror Universe. I like all that craziness, and you never knew what they were going to do or how they were going to act. Like, Smiley. I love stuff like that. That was really cool. So I look back at Living Witness, and I just remember laughing my butt off watching that and thinking, they are so totally crazy. Like the doctor as an android with a little cord sticking out of the back of his head and making biogenic weapons that he sends right to the computer and pow, killing all those people. That was cool. And Neelix being called a hedgehog, which I think everybody always wanted to call him a hedgehog. So that was really kind of cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did like how Tom Paris was the only guy who didn't change in the alternate, like in their version of the alternate universe.
That's right. Tom was just Tom being Tom. And
but doesn't he have a horrible mustache?
No, that was the author.
That's an author, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, my mistake.
Although I do like a couple of parts from that too. There are things that I like. He's kind of skeezy. More skeezy than normal, Tom is. But anyway.
This is true.
Yeah, and my favorite thing out of all of that is the way they say, Chakotay. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I kept rewinding that yesterday. Say it again. Chakotay. Anyway, so that's what I would like to see made into a movie. But that's what I had. That's what I have. And, I mean, I don't know where else from there to go. So
I think I have an idea for you.
Okay.
I love the idea of the Mirror Universe characters because that's something that from the very beginning of Trek, we've kind of, you know, had a little chance here and there to appreciate. What if the Mirror Universe collides with the Prime Universe again and somehow the Mirror Universe is a threat and they are the enemy for the movie?
That's kind of cool.
It could be.
Yeah. I would like to see how they got to that point. I would like to see how they went off crazy town and just became like cold-blooded killers instead of just doing what they normally did. I think that would be kind of cool. And then to run up on the real Voyager crew, that would be cool.
Mm-hmm. And it would be interesting to see how and why they collide.
Mm-hmm.
Because in TOS, it's transporter accident. I mean, you can make anything happen here. Come up with something, roll the dice.
Yeah,
you'll
definitely
come up with a reason. But it would be kind of fun to see them fighting each other, conniving, setting traps, all that sort of thing. Plus, one thing that would be great for the movie, I mean, in Endgame, it's Kate Mulgrew versus Kate Mulgrew in some parts, right? Admiral Janeway versus Captain Janeway. Well, you've got, in this concept, Mirror Janeway versus Prime Janeway, and you could still have the Mulgrew on Mulgrew action.
Yes, you could.
So if you really appreciated that, you could have that in this idea.
Yes, you could.
Yeah. Chakotay with long hair and a face completely covered in a tattoo.
Yeah, leather pants.
They get into a fist
fight. Yeah, they needed a lot more leather. That was my thought.
Totally.
So, Laura, your basic principle is you wanted a Mirror Universe episode that would be turned into a movie where Voyager against Voyager.
Sure.
Janeway against Janeway.
Sure.
Okay. That would be hard to shoot. Man.
It would for a movie.
That would be expensive as hell.
It would.
Hey, that's not really my problem. So
I'm an idea man.
Hard work is not my forte. Yeah, we're not talking about budgets here. We're talking about ideas.
That's right.
Right. Okay, so a $500 million Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And why not?
And why not, exactly.
Yes. That's right. Totally.
So when would this take place in the spectrum of the seven seasons?
That was like season 4, I think. So 4. That would be okay.
It's a good time. So that means like we would have an evil 7 instead of an evil Kes, right?
You would. She was like super evil. Still super Borg. I'm going to assimilate you and just knock the crap out of you. And I think everything that they came across that she assimilated and just made Borg and made her Borg army larger and larger. So
you would not only make her evil, but you would keep her Borg in your in your alternate reality.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. You're like, why not?
It's a threat. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be fun, actually, seeing the mirror universe on the big screen. Yeah.
I think so.
I do see why they didn't do it for the reasons
Monetary reasons, yes.
And lousy shooting schedule.
There are a few mirror episodes that I like. I mean, I did like some of the stuff that they did in Deep Space Nine. And I like how, even though we didn't get technically a Mirror Universe episode, we still got Living Witness. Like, it was still something for the fans to hold on to. And so I did like that. But, I mean, I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me, but I thought it was wasted in Enterprise. I felt... I did not like a Mirror Darkly at the end of the show. I felt like... I know everyone's supposed to be over the top and hammy, but... it was too over the top and hammy, like, in my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. It felt awkward.
I like Scott Bakula and I like Jonathan Archer, but I don't know if I like Scott Bakula as Jonathan Archer. And so, you know, like, if that makes sense. And so, yeah, it just kind of...
somehow it does.
Yeah. And so when I saw evil Jonathan Archer, I just... it was so many cringeworthy moments, but I feel like the reason why I'm saying this is I feel like Kate Mulgrew did a fantastic job of walking the line of evil and sadistic and just over the top.
She knew where to balance it. She pulled it off quite well. Plus the dark hair, it was a nice touch.
Yes. And the gloves. I love that they
the
all
gloves,
had gloves.
The gloves, the leather gloves. So let's go back from the Mirror Universe to our Prime Universe. Tristan, I'm assuming that you're using the Prime Universe. Why don't you tell us some of your ideas here?
Yes, I am. I am using the Prime Universe. My idea might be a little out there, and you'll have to use a little imagination, and there's going to be a lot of technobabble at the beginning to kind of explain where everything came from and where everything went. I would want my Voyager movie to happen right after the end of Deep Space Nine. So Deep Space Nine ended at the end of season 5 of Voyager. So this movie would take place between season 5 and season 6 before Equinox, before the Equinox season finale.
Okay.
So around that time you'd have 1159, Relativity, Warhead, and then you would have the movie or the events of the movie.
And
I would actually want this to be in the cinemas while this was on air, kind of like X-Files style. Like the X-Files had their first 4 seasons, or was it their first 3? I can't remember. And then a movie.
It was 5.
Was
it? And then they did 5 seasons, movie, and then they started season 6 that following fall. Look it up.
All right. I challenge you.
I bet you. I bet you a candy bar.
Damn it. I have to take this bet. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you're saying season 5, then the movie, and then season 6 happened. And I'm saying season 4, then season 5.
Right.
The film story takes place between season 5 and season 6.
Oh!
Ha ha!
Dang it.
All right. I'll be sending you my address.
All right. So let's get back to Star Trek. I'm sure that's what people want to listen. Okay. So like I said, 1159, Relativity, Warhead, cinematic events, and then Equinox. So in order for this to happen logistically, Equinox would not be a cliffhanger. Equinox wouldn't have started until the first episode of Equinox wouldn't have started until season 6. Okay, so Deep Space Nine is over. The Dominion War is over. Okay, that's the key thing. The Dominion War is over. So really what brought me to this idea is I am a big fan of key villains. Like, it's not so much against a force or a dilemma. I really like key bad guys. I'm talking Khan, Chang, Nero. I love those guys. I love an evil person that you can focus all of your energy on, and it's someone that you need to best. It's someone that the captain needs to best. One thing that I've been kind of mulling around with, and I thought that would be perfect for Voyager, is the beginning of this movie, it's not in the Delta Quadrant, it's in the Gamma Quadrant.
Okay.
And
okay,
yeah. We're in the Gamma Quadrant, and we're in the home base of the Dominion, and we're in... we kind of have a setting that starts off like Serenity, where we're in a lab and people in lab coats are running all around, but it's all Vorta and changelings and everything like that. We see this little gray being, basically, as a baby, and we see this this Jim Hadar grow up, kind of like we did with Odo in Deep Space Nine, where we got to see the growth of a Jim Hadar boy and it raised up. Well, in this case, we think it's normal. We think we're just watching one Jim Hadar get grown, basically. And but you know, the doctors keep talking about how it's like this Jim Hadar is a little different. Like, it has this kind of power and this kind of ability, far superior than everything they've seen before. We find out that it's a female Jim Hadar, and it was a pilot program, and they called her Omega. Because, you know, with the Jim Hadar, you had the alphas and the betas and everything like that. But she would be the antithesis to alpha. She'd be omega. And they were going to scrap the program because she was completely unpredictable. She was far superior to any other male Jim Hadar. And she was too ruthless of a leader. Like, she would sacrifice her own people too much for the mission. And we all have seen Jim Hadars commit suicide just to get the job done. This was insane. Like, she risked not only the Jim Hadar's life, but the changelings and the Vortas and everything like that. And so they scrapped the program. They were going to kill her, but she got away. And somehow she made it to the Delta Quadrant, whether it be a wormhole, slipstream, whatever. I don't know. That's where the technobabble comes in. This Omega meets the Voyager crew, and she's been busy along the way. She's tried to develop her own way to create other female Jim Hadar. Like, all she wants to do is reproduce and procreate and start her own life. But then we realize that she's doing mass killings in order to do this. And also, she found a way to create Ketrasol White through makeshift. In order for her to make Ketrasol White, people have to die, basically. I don't know how it is,
okay,
but people have to die, and she is murdering lots of people to create more Jim Hadar and give them Ketrasol White. Like, Starfleet tells Janeway about the Dominion, of course, and what happened. It says, like, this is what you're dealing with. She's five times worse than anything that we've ever seen, and you need to stop this before she, you know, grows another Dominion in the Delta Quadrant.
I gotcha. It sounds like you're combining little elements of what happened in Equinox. Like, what the crew was doing to get themselves home.
A little bit. Yeah,
yes. Omega's doing.
Yes. Like, that's kind of where I want it. Like, I would probably have that replace Equinox altogether, because I just liked that element of, like, killing and harvesting other people or other planets in order for your own means. It's kind of like the, you know, you see it all the time in comic books, like with the Silver Surfer and everything like that. They just consume and destroy in order to enhance their own life. We have great people like Khan and Chang and Nero up against male captains, and these were great male bad guys. Why can't we have a great female bad guy, bad person as well? I know we have the Queen, but I still think that the Queen belongs to Jean-Luc Picard, not Janeway. Janeway spent more time with the Queen, I want to give her her own unique villain. And even though, like, we've seen a lot of the Jim Hadar in Deep Space Nine, and only in Deep Space Nine, you've never seen a Jim Hadar like this. And so that would be my movie. And then we would continue on with either Equinox, or we'd scrap it and go with Survival Instinct, Barge of the Dead, Tinker Tinner, Doctor Spy.
That, you know, I would like that idea much better than Equinox, even.
Yeah, I couldn't get past Ransom in Equinox. I wasn't a big fan of him. I know a lot of people are. I know a lot of people like Ransom because he was different, but.
Yeah, I like the concept that they had with a Starfleet crew basically breaking the rules to get themselves home. It's the antithesis of Voyager.
Right.
But yeah. I also thought it cheapened it. I thought it cheapened Voyager because it made them less special.
That's true.
They were brought in by the Caretaker as well. Those timetables don't match whatsoever. Like, how could they be brought in by the Caretaker as well? And also, I mean, if you look at their ship, the Equinox, it's a first contact style ship and supposedly taken in before Voyager was.
Yeah, that didn't make sense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It didn't make sense.
And also, it's kind of like, for those of you who are like Buffy and Angel fans, like, Angel was special because he was the only vampire with a soul. And then all of a sudden they gave Spike a soul because they ran out of ideas. And then he wasn't as special. It wasn't as cool as an idea. And so there's now two people with souls. And now we have two Starfleet ships that were brought in by the Caretaker. And it just bothered me.
Yeah, okay. I totally agree with you on all of that. And I hate Equinox even more now. It's not my favorite two-putter, I'll say that much.
Yeah. So that's my idea. And
okay. That's very interesting.
I've heard of other stories and ideas of people messing around with the Dominion in the Delta Quadrant, but I didn't want the original Dominion. I just wanted something unique of the Dominion coming to the Delta Quadrant and making it its own. Like, still roots to Starfleet and the Alpha Quadrant and home, like Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and all that business, but still Voyager can make it its own.
Right. What really works for that is, for those that are familiar with Star Trek, it provides an alien with enough background to where we know where it's coming from, and we can appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But for those who are totally new, who are just going to be there to watch for the action or whatever, it's not something they have to know to enjoy what they're seeing on screen as well. So that really works.
That's why you have that opening scene of exposition where it's just, you know, it's a genetic experiment gone wrong. You know, it has essence of Khan. It has essence of Nero.
It does. You know, all the good stuff.
I'm trying to, like, take the key elements I like and just smash it together.
Mm-hmm. Which is what any great movie does, quite honestly. Because, I mean, you've always got, like, that classic villain.
Yes.
Very cool. We all had very different ideas. Whenever we do this kind of a thing, I love it. I know I've said it before, but I'll just say it again. I love it. We've all got such a different perspective. We can feed off of each other's input. It's so much fun.
I feel like I've noticed that we've gotten a little bit more input on iTunes as well.
Yes, we did get another 5-star review on iTunes. So a big thank you to Beetlebrox. And I love that username. That's fantastic. Thank you for your 5-star review. We appreciate it. That helps us out a lot. And also to people on the forums, your input is awesome. We love discussing stuff with you. And of course on Twitter, we've got all that feedback coming back and forth on Twitter as well. You guys rock. If you want to write us letters, you're welcome to do that as well. Go to trek.fm/contact. And if you don't want to write us love letters, write us hate mail. We'll read it either way.
I know. I won't read hate mail. So just write me. Just write to me that you think we're awesome, pretty much. I don't want to hear any bad
Tristan
stuff.
Tristan wants to be lied to.
I want to be lied to. But, Char, what are we doing next week?
Well, next week, we are taking another topic suggestion from a listener. And we're going to discuss people that we know from other shows that have been on Voyager. We're going to talk about people like The Rock and Jason Alexander, Sarah Silverman. You know these names, not necessarily because they were on Voyager, but because we know them from other things. So we're going to discuss those guys and how they pertain to Voyager. So until next week, guys, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!